Okay, so the Lord's been speaking to us this week, and we want to just share a couple of things with you. Last week, who was here last week with Pastor Ephiel? Did you hear Pastor Ephiel preach? Wasn't that awesome? And he really, really did help me and help set my heart in motion. This week, in 24 hours, I heard from Mike Petzer, my South African friend in Tucson. Got an email from Augustine and an email from Anadan. You don't know him. He's the pastor in Orissa. Then got an email from Jeff Martin in Zambia. Got another email, phone call from Pastor Ephiel in Zimbabwe. Where was the other email from? I got another one. Oh, from Joe in Zambia. So this all happened in a 24-hour period. And I realized how my life is not a life, and I remember preaching about this a couple of years ago, where I can't use a paintbrush. Tony will know that there are some of these industrial paintbrushes. You ever seen them? They're industrial rollers. You ever seen them? They're like 2 feet wide, right, Tony? 18 inches wide. They're this wide. That's what I need. And that's what the only thing I can use. So if anything is narrower than 18 inches, sorry, I mean, that's all I got. If you get my drift, I can't paint inside the lines. And so what I believe the Lord was showing us, I was in communication with Leon. Oh, he's the other one I was forgetting, our South African buddy Leon. And he was telling us how when there's an outflowing of the Holy Spirit or an inflowing into us. Now, many of us have been filled and filled and filled and filled now for several months. But it's like an E equals MC squared principle. If there isn't an equal outflow to match the inflow, it ends up causing frustration. And so obviously what happens is a lot of people get frustrated because they aren't personally experiencing an outflowing. Are you all listening to me? You're not personally experiencing an outflowing. Now it says there's four things that you have to get involved with any kind of revival, any kind of move in God. That's evangelism, intercession, missions, and church plant. Let's say it. Evangelism, intercession, missions, and church plant. That is what you have to be involved with when there's any kind of move of God. And if you're not involved with one of those four things or a mixture of those four things, you will be frustrated. You will just be keep coming to the table, keep eating, and not exercising and using what God's given you, okay? Many people you've heard over the years, one of the biggest lies pastors hear is, oh, I'm not being fed. It's never true. I very rarely have ever met a Christian who's not being fed enough. I've normally met Christians who've got no hunger, therefore they can't eat anymore. Did everybody hear what I just said? Where Christians have no hunger, therefore they can't eat anymore. People who have been saved more than 3 years and haven't got an identifiable ministry, there's something wrong with the last 3 years of your life. Are we doing all right now? In the church, in the early church, the historians say Christian, a mature Christian, was considered 3 years old in the Lord. Mature Christian. Now, where do we get that idea? Well, that's how long it took Jesus to raise up his little mob. Right? Now, why? How did he raise them up? He raised them up, teaching them, releasing them to do it. Teaching them, releasing them to do it. Teaching them, releasing them to do it. Right? All the time. Through his entire ministry. Sent out the 12. Sent out the 70. Sent them out again. All the time they were doing this. His great statement in John after the resurrection was, as the Father has sent me, I send you. And so Christianity has become identifiable with going to church and all the great Christian nonsense that we talk. But until we understand that Christianity is preach, teach, make disciples and be witnesses. Preach, teach, make disciples, be witnesses. Preach, teach, make disciples, be witnesses. If we're not doing that, then all you're doing is a cultural relationship because of our American culture. Are we okay so far? So, okay, here we go. This is the point. Evangelism, intercession. Who was here last Sunday at the end of the meeting last Sunday? Remember how the house was rocking? Up there, leading out, speaking in tongues, the place was rocking. Because there's not been enough intercession. We are not praying enough. We're not being fervent enough in spirit. Are we okay with that? There's not a real fervency that is our individual responsibility to stir up those gifts that are in us. And so there is no identify. If you think about churches, we've known it for decades. If you look about on a Sunday morning, you thought, is this really the church that the book of Acts is describing? Is this really it? Is this really what Jesus died for? You know what I'm saying? It's not, is it? We're not seeing the demons being driven out. We're not seeing the people being healed. If we're not seeing it, somewhere we've been satisfied with some cultural... let me give you an example. I don't know how much you guys know about Judaism. But has anybody here heard of Yom Kippur? Raise your hand if you've heard of Yom Kippur. Right, it's the Jewish Day of Atonement, where they fast for 25 hours. And before that, they make right with everybody and all that stuff. Well, that is what they call Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's not in the Bible anywhere. And the reason they do that is because the temple has been destroyed. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and from that time, the rabbis have got a system. They say, well, if you do this, then you'll be okay. Even though it's nothing to do with the Bible, nothing at all to do with the Bible. Does everybody realize, and I hope you understand where I'm going with this, does everybody realize that Judaism is a defunct religion? It actually can't exist. Because without a temple to sacrifice, there's no such thing as Judaism. Do we all realize that? So, but what we've done is for 2,000 years, the Jews have accepted the fact that their religion doesn't exist anymore. So we'll do this instead. Okay, we won't eat cheeseburgers. We won't drive our cars on the Sabbath. We won't turn our lights on and off on the Sabbath. If you don't know all that, I need to talk about it more. So, and after a while, you get satisfied with this is what it is. But it isn't. And so Christianity, we've got a similar situation in our life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, either we have to make a decision. Am I going to go for what Christianity is, what Jesus Christ described it through the resurrection, and what the effects of it are? Or are we just going to, you know, keep Yom Kippur? So we have to make that decision. That's a decision that corporately, we need to make a decision. I've got to go for what the Bible says is mine through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the impartation of the Holy Spirit that comes to me. So that's why we've got to keep going for it. However, there's only so much Chinese food I can eat at the buffet before I say, enough already! And then I waddle out into the parking lot. And until I have some exercise, I can't go back and engorge myself again with Chinese food. And it's the same with Christianity. Until you actually pour something out, there's no room for the Holy Spirit to come in. There's just no room. So we have evangelism, intercession, missions, and church planting. So what the Lord has shown me this week is we have June, we had 7 or 8 people went to Zambia. July, we got 20 people going to Jamaica. August, we got 12 people going to Guatemala. September, we've got 8 or 10 people going to Zambia. October, we've come to a stop. And so what I believe the Lord is showing is that we need to plant a church this autumn. We need to plant a church this autumn, and I've got 3 people with me on that. And we're looking at the Newburgh area. So we might as well just speak it out right now, because we need to plant a church, and we need to see who is going to be involved with that church in these 4 areas. Evangelism, intercession, missions, and church planting. So we are going to start this fall, we believe, I mean, unless the Lord gives us a red light, to plant another church, to plant our first church under King's Fire International. And so that's what we're going to do. That's what we believe the Lord is showing us. And this is now going to begin to separate the men from the boys. This is going to begin to separate the girls from the ladies. You know what I'm saying? Are we really going to begin to do what we've been hearing about, talking about, believing God for? And we can begin now to get involved, especially intercession, especially beginning to build up our spirits, begin to build these things inside of us, that this is what we're going to do. We're going to plant a church, and it's going to be the first. We've got to believe for a quick anointing. We've got to believe that God's going to plant a church, and then we can move on and plant another one. So this is something that's going to take some decisions in the next 3 or 4 months about how much you are going to serve God, or are you going to just keep in the customary tradition of Christianity as it's been exposed to you over the last several decades. So that's the challenge where we are. That's what I believe God is saying to us. And that is when we have to now, we've got 3 or 4 months to work our lives where we make a decision. Are we just going to be nominal Christians for the rest of our lives, or are we going to make a difference in this world? We believe every man, every woman is a believer. Every believer is a member and a partner of the church. Every member of the church is a power-filled minister. And every minister is an earth changer. I really believe that. I really believe that. The only thing is that I believe that some of the older folks, sorry, here it comes, are too old to change. I said some, right? I'm sticking to my guns. Statistically, people over 35 years old won't change. They're in too much of a rut. Okay? So this is a challenge, because I know it won't be that hard to get the youngsters to do it. It won't be that hard to fire up the youngsters, to get them out there, to get them to do something for God. Look at all the youngsters are going to Jamaica. There's 20 of them, and... Well, Sean's the old man of the trip, but other than that... Oh, sorry, Christine, if you want to claim being old, then go for your life. I did say old man, didn't I, Sean? All these young people are going, to Guatemala, a lot of young people, and we've just had a couple of teenagers come back from Zambia. It's not hard to get the young people going. Our focus, I want to tell you, if you're not sure about the way we do music, the way we do praise, the way we goof around, it's because we do believe that the young people are going to be the most essential thing in the future. Most of us, if you haven't been effective for God in the last 10 years, you're going to need a miracle to change. I am not getting too many arguments. If you haven't done much for God in the last 10 years, you're going to need a miracle to change. A miracle. There's so much residue in your head, so much resentment in your spirit, so much pride at the new challenge of God. God was speaking to me about pride, and this one's for the young people. If you're more concerned about the way you look than how you serve God, you're full of pride. If you're concerned about the car you drive rather than the neighbor you help, you're full of pride. If you're so full of not wanting to look undignified before God, you are full of pride. There's no other way to call it. It's pride. Spelled S-T-I-N-K-I-N-G. Pride. And I want to encourage you, because I believe God's going to begin to challenge us and speak to us individually and corporately about what we're going to be doing in the future. And I'm getting ready to go for it. I'm getting ready to go for it. God said, Augustine sent me an email and said, you have got to go back to Israel on your own and seek God. That's what he told me. And immediately I got a witness to it. Steve got a witness to it. Wendy got a witness to it, which I guess is some of the important factors. I don't know what God's going to be doing in the next 3 months, 6 months, 6 years. But all I know is we're not going to pull the stops out for people who need to be stroked. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're still hurting, make a decision to be healed. Can we go there just for a minute? If you're still wounded because of what some other pastor did for you, get healed. If you're still wounded of something I did for you, get healed. Get over it. We can't work with quitters. Did you hear Ephiel preach last week about cowards and quitters? Talking about people who just run away because it gets hot in the kitchen. I'm telling you, now God is saying, if you can't run with the big dogs, you've got to stay on the porch, man. And there's no porch in this church. You've got to go and find, there's plenty, I can point you in plenty of places where there's churches with porches. And you can sit there and in your rocking chair and whittle as long as you like. I just want to make sure you're hearing clearly what is going to be going on in the future. We're not going to be holding back. We're not going to be apologizing about finances, about tithing, about serving, about commitment. We're not going to be apologizing for all, any of it. And all I can say is we will probably still see some more men and women who are going to get offended. But all I know is the gospel is an offense. If you're really going to do it, did or didn't Jesus say, he who does not hate his mother, his father, his children, his wife, even his home life, cannot be my disciple. Can't. Didn't he also say, he who does not pick up his cross daily and follow me cannot be my disciple? And then he summed it all up and said this. He said, listen, you need to sit down and count the cost. You need to sit down and count the cost. You want to build a life? You need to sit down and count the cost. Because I know that we've done it in our lives. And the reality is once you've counted the cost and say, I don't care what it costs. I just feel the Holy Spirit nudging me this. When we were in Jerusalem, it would have been the spring of 1980 or early 1980. Wendy hated the place. Hated it. Hated it. One more time. Hated it. And in the end, you know, every other day, I can't say, I'm leaving, I'm leaving, I'm leaving. Do you know how many men have been taken out of this church by their nagging wives? I'm not ashamed to tell you. And do you know how many women have been taken out of this church by their weak husbands? I'm telling you, it's something that I'm not going to hold back anymore. If there's one thing God is looking for, he's looking for men and women to be men and women. Not superstars. Just men and women of integrity, of faithfulness, of loyalty, of commitment, of servanthood. It ain't rocket science. You remember on the day of Pentecost, remember who he poured his spirit on? His servants. On his servants. He poured his spirit on his servants and on his handmaidens. He poured his spirit on his servants and his handmaidens. If you're not serving God, that's why you're not receiving the spirit. If you're still serving yourself. I'm just about to write my second book on the three M's, marriage, money, and ministry. And I'll say this now just to make sure that if sometime in the near future you may read some of it. Anybody who thinks that your wife and your children are more important than your service to God, you are deluded, you are wrong, you are deceived. It is not the truth. Christians seem to think we must seek first the King, then our wife and our children and our career, then our ministry. Where on earth is that written? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom. The kingdom includes your wife, includes your children, includes your career. And it also includes whatever God puts a demand upon you to do, even if there's a time when it costs your family. These are things, this is discipleship. This is discipleship. This is discipleship. You remember all the stories in the Bible about Peter's wife? Exactly. That's my point. We know he had one because he had a mother-in-law. And in the book of Corinthians, it talks about Cephas traveling around with his believing wife. But there is no evidence ever, any time, of any man making sure that his wife and children were a priority over the call of God on his life. Marriage is a choice, guys and girls. Marriage is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. So if you choose it, make sure that you're ready to fit it in to your God-given call. Does everybody hear this? If you were called before the foundation of the world, how come your marriage has got the priority now? This is one subject I like fighting on. Well, I'm saying this because it's important. Wendy and I, for 34 years, we've been together. We've always put the priority of serving God first. Always. And we've got an incredible marriage, 5 great kids, and we live a debt-free life. Because there's a Bible verse that says, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. Nobody ever believes it because they think they can outthink and outsmart God. Now, I know this may not be revival talking, but what I'm saying is that there needs to be this sound going out. There needs to be, we are a multiracial, single culture church. And the culture is the kingdom of God. It is not the American culture. It is not the English culture. It is not a black culture or a white culture or a Hispanic culture. It is the kingdom of God culture. That is the culture we're building. And that culture is clearly defined in the word of God. And that's what we're going for. And we'll scare a few people off, obviously, with talking like this. But we just got to handle it. We just got to handle it. And I just want to encourage all of you. Have a little confidence in the promises of God. And there'll be a time you will suffer frustration like you wouldn't believe. But if you can just push yourself through that frustration, I think it's part of what God's doing. Let's face it, our culture can't handle patience very well, can we? We can't handle this, yeah, but, you know, what about me and my way and my this and my that? So I really want to just lay it out clear. Anyway, that was that. So I'm just going to get excited about our first church plant, what it's going to take, what a commitment it's going to take, because it's all about the fact, listen, if we all drop dead tonight, we'll go into heaven. But what about the rest of the valley? What about the rest of New York? What about the rest of the country? What about the rest of the nations in the world? And that's the important thing. I want to spend the next 20 years of my life serving God to the max. Wonderful Jesus. Can somebody say Shazam?
Shazam!
Isn't that a great word? I'd love to know what it means sometimes. It was an old song by Duane Eddy. Anybody remember that? Anybody that old? You remember that? Okay. So we want to be blessed. I don't want to take any more time. We want to hand the meeting back to Steve. But before that, remember, we always need to bless Steve financially. I just don't want any of us to take his ministry for granted, to take his voice for granted, to take his anointed for granted, to take the imparted power. How many people in this church, just stand up quickly, people in this church who since Steve's been here has got a word of knowledge. Stand up quickly. Okay. Oh, she's drunk. Okay, that's quite a bunch of us, and there's a few not here. I'm just saying that this to me is one of the, thank you, this is one of the great signs that we're going to send a team to Jamaica tomorrow, and one of the powerful things they're going to do is they're going to move in a word of knowledge down there with 300 kids in the VBS. This is something that we are going to make sure happens tonight. We're going to one more time lay hands on them, commission them, send them out as the Father has sent me. Jesus said, so send I you. And these are things that are going to happen. So let's receive our offering. Make your checks out of King's Fire International. We've got to keep the fires burning. Hallelujah. Oh, the girls are coming to take the offering. Oh, one guy. We're good. Are we blessed? Still missing some of the Jamaican team. Must be evangelism, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are just so blessed to be part of something that has got a focus on evangelism, intercession, missions, and church planting. So, Lord, we bless you and thank you for this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, as you receive the offering, I think you got one more song there, Steve? Thanks, son. Praise God. Appreciate the offering. Appreciate all of you. His kingdom is our priority. God bless you. Let's stand. Let's sing one more song.
Your temple clothed as living stones, where you're enthroned. As you rose from death in power, so rise above our worship, rise above our praise, and let the hand that saw you raise clothe us in your glory. Draw us by your grace, oh, the glory of your presence. We, your people, give you reverence. Give you reverence. So arise from your rest, so arise from your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace.
Lift your hands to Jesus. Just ask Him to fill you with His precious Holy Spirit right now. By us simply yielding to Him tonight, He can do so many things in just a short space of time. Just a few minutes, He can touch you. He can heal your body. He can fill you with fresh oil. He can deliver you. He can set you free. He can show you by His Spirit just what a champion you are. Come and fill all the hungry, the thirsty within, the thirsty within. Restore us, O Father. Restore us, O Father, revive us again. Revive us again. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome this place. Omnipotent Father, omnipotent Father of mercy and grace. You are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. Take your seats. Bless you.
Thank you. Just couldn't be bothered going down there to get it. Well, good evening, everyone. Well, here we go again. Gosh, singing sure wipes out your voice, doesn't it? It's going to be a powerful move of God sweeping here tonight. I say it every week because we see it every week. So, nothing wrong with making statements. Get a bit short if I talk like that, but nothing happened. Then we get a bit worried. But last Sunday night, probably the most powerful expression I've seen of God in praise and worship in many years of leading in that sort of stuff. Yet in so many ways, we're really just at the beginning stages of a move of God, and I'm quite excited about it starting to branch out of the church planting and missions and all that sort of thing, because it's not just a revival of great numbers. There's many different types of revivals. This is a revival that's just building steadily, slowly in a lot of ways. Well, it's not like we're in a big city with millions to choose from, but it's getting a reputation. And it's interesting that well over half of you said that you weren't here last Sunday night. And you hear me say it a lot, but if we could get everybody who comes to these revival meetings over a weekend all together in one meeting, there'd be standing room only. In fact, I think we'd have to use downstairs as an overflow room. There's no doubt about it, but that's pretty impossible. They reckon you've got a 30 a church away on any given Sunday. There's always up to a third, either on holidays or sickness or better golf day, whatever. And there's always a 30 people away. That's statistics across the world. And it's the same in revival. You're not going to get all the people all in one meeting. And so what you do is you don't worry about numbers. You worry about the hunger level in people's hearts. But you don't worry about it. That's what you look for. Because as the hunger level begins to increase, may have started off with 30, 40, then it goes 60, 70, then 80, 90, then 100, 150, then a couple hundred, then 300, then 400. Just keeps going and going and going. But what you're doing is you're building little by little, precept upon precept. And then when that thing really hits, you've got a whole lot of leaders, you've got a whole lot of people in place ready to go for it. And then God seems to honor that more. And so in my opinion, over 28 years of doing this sort of thing, We're right on track, and my personality is very impatient, so sometimes I wish we were a lot further down the track than what we are. But if we were further down the track, I'd still wish we were further down the track. It's just the way I am. I'm never satisfied, never. I could get $1 million next week coming to my ministry, and I'd be thinking, I wonder why it wasn't 2 million. I could have done a lot more with 2 million, Lord. I could have done a lot more for your kingdom. Thank you for that million, but that's the way you got to think like that. You got to talk like that, and we do appreciate all the gifts that so many of you people just faithfully putting in each week, and it is keeping us alive. It's keeping our ministry alive, and it's a little bit different coming off the road just to be in one place all the time, and don't regret it at all. And the reality is, even though the finances are not what they would be if I was on the road all the time, because obviously you've got different groups of people, you're speaking to larger groups of people, or you're speaking sometimes to two or three different churches in 1 week, so therefore the offerings are a lot higher and things like that. And so, but it really isn't about money, although we do need money to survive, and we need money to build, and we need money so that we can give out and support others, just like you support me. We love to support, all right, we do, we love to support other people as well. And so everything's in perspective. So that's great. Really is good. And we're happy here. We're just looking towards getting a house now. Can't get any darn credit in your nation. I've got to get into debt to get credit. How do you figure that? Bank told me yesterday. Bank told me I've got to get a MasterCard, which I can now because I've got a green card for those who don't know. Told it would take 3 to 6 months to come through, and it came through in 1 week. Now, that ain't a miracle. That's a big miracle. And so, obviously, it means God wants me here. Although it is nice to think I can just travel wherever I want now. Now I've got a green card, I can fly anywhere I want to. But we're not. Doing one trip to England in September. That's only because my parents from Australia are going to England, and it's cheaper to fly to England to see them there than it is because they'd like to meet my wife. They haven't met her yet. And so that'll be good. And lot cheaper to fly to England. It's only a 7-hour flight too. That's great. Or 8-hour flight, depending on where you're going. But anyhow, Psalm 104, verse 15. We'll pray for the Jamaicans at the end of this message. And the Jamaicans, we'll pray for those going to Jamaica, which Vaughan will come back and I'll help him do that. And then we'll just let the power of God, I don't know, you might be all decked under the power by then, who knows. But I'd like to pray for us to pray for the Jamaican trip people. Sure, too, it takes a lot out of you. When you're involved in leading a meeting right from the beginning, then preaching too. But anyway, that's all right. Just got to build up stamina again. And feel like Fred. For those who don't understand that bit about Fred, Fred's the bass player. And everyone was yelling out these stupid words last week. And I turned to Fred and said, well, what do you think, Fred? I can't believe it. Somebody's ringing me on Skype. An evangelist from Australia, you idiot. I can't talk to you now. Cheers, evangelist from Australia. See you later, mate. Bye-bye. If he was watching it on webcam, he'd know that we're here right now. Anyway, what was I saying before I was really interrupted? Fred. What about him? Leave him alone. He's a friend of mine. Persistent little boy. Bye-bye again. Might have been God, hey? I turned to Fred and said, what are you going to say? So everyone can yell it out. And he went, I don't know. So that became the theme. I don't know. So it's, do that. Say, I don't know. It's very anointed. Feels good. It just relieves you of a lot of burdens and just feeling that it's stupid, actually. But Vaughan came to me while I was singing, I'll be more undignified than this. Have you ever been on Vaughan's Facebook and seen his picture? When he was over there in the corner that time in one of the revival meetings, he's got a basket on top of his head. I thought we should show that one night when we sung that song again. It's very, very funny. I said, because Josh has just rebuilt all this out here. Have you noticed the inside of the building's looking great, isn't it? I think... Thanks to Josh. I think he almost killed himself. He worked 2 days in the pouring rain, then got a bit sick, and at least he got the job done. So, no, there's some good people in this church. They're very good. And anyway, it looks good, but I think we should put that picture of a big logo of Vaughan on that side wall there with a basket on his head. Welcome to King's Fire. I think it'd be funny. But Psalm 104, verse 15, if we get through it, just says a few, just says there, Psalm 104, verse 15, it says, I think I'll turn it myself. It'd be nice if I had a Bible, hey? I've got all the scriptures written down on my laptop. They're cool things. But in case I get interrupted again from Australia. All right, Psalm 104, verse 15, it says, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face to shine, and bread that sustains his heart. Let's say that again. Wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face to shine, and bread that sustains his heart. Now, in those three things is the total moving of God and what he does in revival. It says, wine that gladdens the heart of man. You know, the wonderful thing about the Word of God, that you can look at it and it's like a diamond. It's got many facets to it. You can get 10 men look at one scripture and really get 10 different revelations from the same Jesus by the Holy Ghost on that one scripture. And that's the beautiful thing about God. There's many different scenarios on the scripture, but this is what it's saying to me. This is what I believe the Holy Ghost, that wine that gladdens the heart of man. This is speaking, of course, of the wine or the new wine of the Holy Ghost. It gladdens our heart. How many of you have been touched with the new wine of God in some of these meetings? Almost everybody putting up their hands. But you know, wine that gladdens the heart of man. It's speaking of the wine of the Holy Spirit. And you notice there's a scripture in the Gospels, in quite a few of the Gospels, it says the same thing, that you put new wine into new wineskins. The reason you do that is because in those days they had wineskins that was made out of animal skin or a goat skin or something or other. And what they used to do was, if you put an old wineskin to be around for a while, then put new fermented wine into it. New fermented wine has a lot of bite to it. It's got a lot of fermentation, I think that's how you say it, fermentation. Bad English, is that right? Well, she's saying it right. She's an English teacher, so she should know. And so she's not really, but it sounded good, didn't it? But it ferments and it's got a lot of bite to it, so it moves around a lot in that wine bottle. Not just because the guy's moving up and down with his hand. Even if it was just stood still, it moves around a lot. And if that old wineskin is old, then it's lost its flexibility and the wineskin will burst and you'll lose all the new wine. And that is talking about prophetically about the church coming into new wine. You have to put in new wineskin. Wineskin is the organic structure. Wineskin is the tactics and the strategies that you use to keep that revival heading the right way. You see, old traditional way of church life and old traditions of denominations or abominations, whatever else you want to call them, which mainly deals with rules and regulations. This is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to plant churches from here. This is what they all have to do. The moment you start putting rules and regulations and not Holy Spirit guidelines on things, you're getting into religion, and pretty soon it'll just be a dumb, boring old movement again. And so what we got to do is you put new wine into fresh wineskins. Now, fresh wineskin is a new goat skin, and it's in those days, of course. And what happened was you put new wine into it, and the new wineskin just moves along and is flexible and pliable and works with the new wine. It can bite all it likes. You silly-looking Skype, shut up. If you ring again, I'll throw you away, computer. I've had enough of you. We should yell out to Australia, we're in a meeting, dum-dum. If you're watching on webcam, knucklehead, stop ringing me. It's all right, it's just an Aussie joke, don't worry. But anyway, with him, he's my friend. Oh, geez, I'm getting interrupted tonight. I want to get through this. I have to sign out. That's really interesting. I'm not even turned on. Truthfully, I'm not even turned on. That's all right, I'll just keep wiping him out. It's all right. I know what I'll do. I'll turn it off. Why didn't I think of that before? You stupid man. Everybody say, you silly little boy. Thank you. So you put new wine into new wineskins. Obviously. And then the whole thing keeps going. The revival keeps growing. You're having missions trips. And eventually the missions trips, it's good to help out other movements and other flows like Overland Missions, whatever it's called, which I know nothing of, but it's very dear to a lot of you people. And it's great. Keep on going with that. But it's got to be more than that. We've got to make our mark in revival in the nations of the earth by taking revival wherever we're going. Not just going over there to drive trucks and paint rooms and all that. That's good. That's very good. But that don't get anybody saved. That don't get sick bodies healed. And that don't get bums on seats in church planted for the glory of God. So it's a mixture of both. And I'm not interested in the other. I'm interested in the souls of man and the power of God coming on people's lives. And so we need the both. And God puts other ministries around who see both. And so that's good. But the point is, you were putting new wine into new wineskins. There's a new wineskin being developed here over the last 4 or 5 months. And that's why God's been power blasting some of you people and hitting you with the power of God and hitting you. And when just you think you can't be hit anymore, it'll hit you again and again and again. And sometimes it'll hit many of you in one meeting many times. Why? Because he's trying to get that new old wineskin in you rubbed with the oil of God so you become flexible. So when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you don't let tradition, you don't let mindsets or anything hold you back. You get focused on Christ and you move forward into his purposes. Otherwise, you'll always be trying to step forward with an old wineskin and it's impossible. You've got to get into the new wine by allowing your wineskin to be rubbed with the oil of God. Because you see, in those days, I'm getting ahead of myself, it's the next point. But the reality is, in those days, they didn't always get a new wineskin. What they did was turn the inside of the wineskin inside out, and they would rub it with oil, with olive oil, which would make that old wineskin flexible again. Then they put new wine in it. So sometimes we come up with a whole new wine skin, and other times we just rub the oil into an old wine skin, and so the new move of God can be contained in that. Or it can contain the move of God, however you want to look at it. But we've got to understand these truths, these powerful principles in the Word of God, or the, more than principles, they're truths. Because the wine gladdens the heart of man. The wine of the Holy Ghost, putting new wine into new wineskins. And so that's what he's been doing. He's been putting new wine and freshening your wineskins, friends. Just look at the person next to you and say, he's been freshening your wineskin. So you can contain the power. And if you like it, you got rocks in your head. I hate change. I live a whole life of change. 28 years I've always lived here. I've moved about 50 times just in my own nation. Goodness me, over 28 years. You know, I've owned homes, I've rented homes. I couldn't care less. I've just been and done whatever God said. I've lived my whole life that way, a life of change, yet my personality doesn't like change. But I live a whole life of change, so it doesn't particularly bother me. It says, well, a new change is coming now. Do this, do that. I think, yeah, well, here we go again. Well, you know, and just adapt my life to going for it. But you don't like change. I don't wake up in the morning and say, wonderful, you know, going to change again today. That's great. No, none of us like that. But this, it's the thing that causes our growth. It's the thing that makes us like Jesus. And what usually does it is trials and pressures and things that we don't like and pressures and trials. And oh, I think, no. Yeah. Sorry about that. Just had a bit of a mental fit there. Anybody here ever watched the Woody Woodpecker show? That was a great show. It's got nothing to do with new wine, but I thought you might like to know. He's a good friend of mine, Woody Woodpecker. I could do a Woody Woodpecker impersonation, but I won't. Because that's exactly what you're expecting me to do. Who'd like Vaughan to do a Woody Woodpecker impersonation? He's not going to do it. Something like that. That's a pretty sick one. That's what you got to do. That's when the joy comes on. That's what people start doing. Good to have you back, Jerry. Is that your name? I don't forgot your name. Bill, Fred. Jeremy has been to Zambia. Were you a good boy over there? Amazing. Oh, unless Sharon's back. Is little Davey there too? No, he's piked out. Good to have you back. I've been to Zambia. Goodness me. Get you to testify in one of these meetings. Be good to hear what God's doing over in these places. You know, people give up their time and finances to go over. At least we can do is to let them bring a report back what's been happening. Be good. Do us all good to hear. But you know, wine gladdens the heart of man. Speaks of the wine of the Holy Ghost. You put that new wine in new wineskins. Then it goes to say, wine that gladdens the heart and oil to make his face to shine. Now, what's this oil talking about? Well, obviously, it's talking about the oil of the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks about the oil of gladness and the oil of joy, which this church is so foreign to all that sort of thing. You wouldn't have a clue what joy is because we never see it. But the oil of gladness, the oil of joy. The oil of God also speaks about the healing power of the Holy Ghost. The oil speaks of the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. And the other thing what I've already mentioned is that rub oil into the wineskin to keep it flexible. But also what they used to do in time of war, especially in King David's day and all those great battles they used to have. And what they used to do was they used to rub oil on their shields. Their shields that they had were made of leather. And what they used to do is get oil and rub it under those shields before they went into battle. And what would happen is rubbing the oil on the shields would help deflect spears and arrows and the swords when they were being hurled at them or thrown at them or you know, and all that sort of thing. And what we need to do, friends, is rub the oil of God, the anointing of God on our shield of faith, which is able to extinguish and deflect all the fiery missiles that Ephesians 6 says that the devil puts out his fiery darts towards us. And we extinguish them by the shield of faith. And it helps a lot more when we've got faith mixed with the oil of God. Because then that's... And what is the oil of God? The oil of God is simply the pouring of the oil onto of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. The oil is the anointing. That anointing of the Holy Ghost. And also that oil is also put on people to consecrate them to ministry. That anointing oil that comes through the laying on of hands or comes through whatever method you choose to use that the Holy Spirit tells you to do, whether it's breathing on people or saying now and they will fall down everywhere, whatever, it doesn't really matter. That oil, it's the oil of God that gets the job done. Without the anointing, you and I are nothing. Without the anointing, I'd look like a big goose up here. Look like a big goose anyway. Not you, I look like a big goose. But I'm telling you, the anointing of God, we need it, friends. You absolutely need it because it makes you as bold as a lion. When the anointing came upon Saul, it says you'll be changed into a different person. Why does it change us into a different person? Because it makes us ordinary people extraordinary. Makes us do crazy things. To step out and get somebody healed, to step out and say, there's a drunken anointing, like last Sunday, it's just going to hit everybody now, and it happened just then, bang, on the spot. You see, without that, or the week before, carrying a little baby around, the baby's laying hands on people, and everybody's hitting the deck. I mean, in the natural, they're stupid things. And if I wasn't being led by the Spirit and under the anointing, it'd look crazy. It still looks crazy, but people can't deny it, thinking, well, that's interesting. And if you ever doubt the move of God, just ask people who've been touched by it. Mark them out. And when they've come out of it, get with them after the meeting and say, hey, can I just ask you, what did you feel when they prayed for you? What did you feel when you're at the back and they just waved their hand and you went under the power of God, supposedly? That's exactly what I felt. I felt God. I felt the anointing of power come all over me. Then you just better shut your mouth and seek God and get a dose of it yourself because you haven't got a leg to stand on. Simple. You know, if somebody's been touched by God, who the heck do you think you are to try and judge that? You silly little man. Really? They're the people that I feel like giving the fivefold ministry. They need it in love. They really need it. People, Sister Bucketmouth and always rambling on about what they know. They know nothing. Never had a move of God in their whole life. But we don't think they should be like that, and we don't think you should be like that. We think you should say this, and we think you should do that. Well, I think you should go buy a shovel, dig a hole, and bury yourself, you know. But you're not going to do it, just like I'm not going to do it, you tell me. God's sake. Why can't we just keep our eyes on Jesus? I don't know why. It's far easier to do that, isn't it? Well, Fred agrees with me. So I've got to pour oil onto people, and that's what it's all about, pouring that oil of joy. My last point, I'm almost finished. Pretty good, hey? And it says, and the bread that sustains his heart. What's the bread speaking of? Anywhere in the Word of God, the bread is speaking of the Word of God. The bread is speaking of, in fact, it calls Jesus the bread of life. And who is the Word of God? It is Jesus. You see, the Word of God builds our faith, it builds our spirit, it builds our life. It makes us strong and consistent. The Bible says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You know, you've heard me say it before, but it's so true. What do you think we're going to be doing in heaven? Forever. Just worshiping God and washing dishes? I don't think so. Sitting around on clouds with our harps? I don't think so. We're going to be in training schools, on whatever level of faith we left planet Earth at is what we will start at in heaven, and the tool book will be the Bible. Why? Because the word of God, the grass will wither, the flower will fade, the word of God will stand forever. When I hear men of God saying it's only a manual for this earth, I think they got rocks in their head. It says the word of God will stand forever. We're going to be learning about the word of God and all the treasures in it and for all eternity. God will just open up more and more revelation that are hidden all there between beneath the scriptures. And we can have a lot of that and impart it to us now. by simply taking time to spend time in the Word of God. You can build your life around the anointing. You can build it around fasting and prayer. And you'll have an up and down Christianity. You'll just have, you'll hit a power realm when it comes upon you. But you'll have no consistency in your life. Trust me. That's how I built my life for a while. But you've got to build it upon the Word and the Spirit. You've got to build it upon the Word of God, which means reading the thing. It means getting it into your spirit, whether you feel like it, whether we feel like it or not. That's what it's all about. You've got to get that Word in. You've got to get that Word in. As we begin to do that, then all the gifts and all the power of God, it'll be an inexhaustible supply to us. You see, we've got to have the wine. We've got to have the oil. We've got to have the bread all working together. We've got to have the wine. We've got to be flexible to have that wine come into us, the wine of God. The oil of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We've got to have those three things and you'll become more and more and more stronger in your faith, stronger in this revival. And no matter what devil comes against you, you will stand. No matter what comes against your life, you'll stand. Why do you think the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, when you've done all, stand? Because sometimes we think in Christian life we're not going to get attacked. You become a target for the enemy the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ. Do you think he's going to make your life a life of rose gardens? Do you think that you're not going to have any problems? He'll bring everything against you. He'll bring every accusation against you. He'll pull up anything from your past. He'll do anything to discredit you, and he'll probably use people who know you to do it. And so we've got to be strong in God and strong in his word so we can really say, vengeance is mine, saith God, and we just actually love people. Doesn't mean we agree with them. It just means we love them. And that sort of stuff. I'm telling you, we've got to have that sort of heart. A lot of people just aren't willing to pay the price. But it's a wonderful thing to pay the price. Wonderful thing. Why not pay the price? Hey. Might as well. What's the other alternative? Stand before Jesus one day, look at his feet in shame and just scrape through to heaven? I reckon I've probably got 15, 20 years left in me, good years. Maybe I'll think differently once I'm that age. But thinking about getting 70, teeth falling at me, head, my arms falling off. I mean, Tony's 59, he's got a false arm and a false ear and false teeth. How do you think his wife feels when he screws his arm off at night time? Takes his arm off, screws his leg off, takes his false teeth out. And she says to him, good night, gummy. It's true. You feel his arm. It's a false arm. He bought one from Walmart. I saw him.